Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. I'm Joe Vicnicki for the local news department. This is our daily update on COVID-19 preparation in the community. Today is Wednesday, the 15th of April, 2020. And I'm joined on the phone line by officials with the Petersburg Medical Center, School District, and the Borough of Petersburg, and the public health nurse as well. Before we get to our guests, there was something I meant to read yesterday. It's from the Petersburg Indian Association, email from Tribal Administrator Tracy Welch. She wanted to keep me apprised on the situation up there. She writes, PIA's doors are closed to the public at this time. We still have people available to answer calls and serve tribal citizens. Many of the PIA employees are working from home, but are responding to calls and emails as they come in. And as we've heard, the transit service has been suspended due to concerns over COVID-19. And the PIA has also partnered with Mountain View Manor Food Services to assist with delivering meals in the evenings, as they have seen a large increase in delivery needs. So that's the update from the Petersburg Indian Association. And we'll include those as we get more from Tracy Welch up at the PIA. Well, welcome to all our guests. Maybe let's start off today with Petersburg Medical Center and Phil Hofstetter. If you'd start us off today, what is the latest situation?
Yeah, good afternoon. So nothing major to report, which is obviously, I think, good news. We have 71 tests out there. We have one recovered, 63 negative, and 7 pending. We are continuing to wait for our point-of-care test, the Abbott ID, the state has sent out. So we're kind of waiting for that to come in through the mail. I don't know if Lori has signed on, if she wants to give any updates on that or not. Other than that, we've had a good response so far with our wellness activity. So we have a virtual 5K that we're promoting to encourage wellness during this time. And our PMC external website, we have some information in the links there. So that's about all I have for updates at this time.
Okay. Jennifer Briner, how about from your standpoint, what's new at the medical center?
There's not a lot new. We continue to have all people entering the facility wear a mask to protect others. And then just the hotline is staying active again, 772-5788. They're receiving several new calls every day, and then they work with the caller to work through the whole symptoms until the resolution of the symptoms. Some of them are referred for screening, some of them are not, depending on their situation. But one really important thing is that if you are sick or have called the hotline or have been swabbed and waiting for your test results, it's really important to stay home and to really isolate in your home. You know, don't be out and about even with a mask on. So if you're sick, please stay home until you have resolution of the tests, of your symptoms, or your test comes back negative and your symptoms are gone. So anybody with symptoms of COVID should stay home.
And that means isolate, stay away from even other family members, right?
Absolutely, yes. If you are under investigation for COVID, you should try to use your own bedroom, bathroom, you know, don't eat together, wipe down surfaces really frequently, but really try to stay away from the other members of your household.
Okay. How about for people who are getting used to wearing masks, probably at the medical center, you've been wearing them for a while now. Any tips for living with a mask on when you absolutely need it, when you can take it off, and other tips for getting around a mask, including eating, drinking, wearing glasses with a mask or anything like that? Maybe Liz, do you want to jump in and field that?
Yeah, masks are so much fun. I saw a joke on Facebook that I never thought I would be going to the bank asking for money wearing a mask. masks are, I'll talk about two different environments. The healthcare environment, which I just won't touch on, is that we treat masks as personal protective equipment, and we treat it, and when it's used, we treat it as infectious, and we handle it very carefully when we're done using the equipment, throwing it out or putting it in laundry or whatever. The masks that people are wearing at home that are made, fabric masks that are made by the local sewers, those are washable. And so you want to wear a mask only once a day. You don't want to continue wearing them ongoing. And if they get wet or you don't feel well and your mask is getting soiled from the inside, then you want to wash those more often. And when you take a mask off, you want to try not to touch the mask after you've worn it, because it's been collecting fluid maybe from you. And so you don't want to just take it off and lay it down somewhere. Try to find a, if you're going to put it back on like you're going to eat, then put it on a paper towel, a clean paper towel, and then you can put it back on again. But also trying not to touch the front of the mask. And I think that's about it. You can stick a paper towel inside of it too if you've got a little space in between the two layers. Double layer masking is advised. And a mask does not, you still need to have 6 foot of separation or more depending on what you're doing or how sick you are. So masking is important, but you still don't want to touch your face. You don't want to touch your eyes, because you can actually, your hands can transfer the virus up to your eyes and you can get sick that way. So that's really a hard habit to break for people.
Wearing glasses with a mask, glasses fog up. Any tips for that?
So I heard that shaving cream, you can put shaving cream on your glasses and just wipe it off, or soap, liquid soap, just a very, very tiny amount. And it does help prevent fogging up on your glasses. If there's a little metal piece inside the mask, then you can form that mask around your nose. But that is a challenge. It's a challenge for healthcare workers too, when we wear masks and we have glasses. But you might try the soap trick on your glasses to see if that helps for the fogging.
Okay. Liz, other tips you'd like to get out there today?
I saw a cute video of a child doing a hand washing demonstration, and I'm horrible. I kept saying things he should be doing differently. And it was a very sweet video and I just love it. But the things that you do when you hand wash your hands is, once you walk in, I'll just use a scenario of going into the bathroom and you run the water, you turn the faucets on and you get your hands wet, you lather up and you scrub for 20 seconds, then rinse off your hands really well, but then don't turn the faucet off with your clean hands. Now you've got clean hands, so you don't want to touch anything that may be contaminated. So you consider that whatever you've touched prior to that is potentially contaminated. I put a roll of paper towels in my bathroom now, and I'm just using paper towels instead of a cloth towel, because other people using it, and it's just a cleaner way of completing the hand hygiene process.
We're all going to need therapy after this for germ fear, I think, though.
I think that's probably going to be the fallout that's going to be more significant in this community and across the world, is all of the changes that we have made in a very short amount of time, and the things that we've given up in such a short amount of time and for such a long time. I mean, everything happened really quickly, and now it seems like do we see an end in sight? We don't necessarily do see an end in sight. So, you know, the long-term impact, I think, is going to be pretty significant.
Okay.
Be care of each other, be kind.
Yes, thanks, Liz. Public health nurse Erin Michael, thanks for joining us today. Yesterday we answered that one question about how many paper forms you had seen as of last Friday, 25 turned into you, but you wanted to caution that people may be filling those out online. Do you get the idea that people are complying with those travel declaration forms here in town?
You know, that's really hard for me to say, just because just like everybody else, I'm trying to social distance as much as possible. And so I'm not out and about a lot. I'm staying in my office, or I'm at home, or I'm out walking my dog. So I may not be seeing people if they are doing that. It's an honor system. It really is. It's asking people, you know, this is for the safety of the community. Please follow these instructions. But if somebody's concerned about that, there is the reporting email that you can do. If you just type in State of Alaska travel mandate, you can find it.
Okay.
But I couldn't speak for, you know, if people are complying or not. It's that would be almost impossible for any one person to be able to say.
Okay. What other
messages? Hopefully they are.
Other messages you want to get out there today?
Yeah, the CDC came out with some information about pregnancy and COVID, and so I just kind of wanted to go over that a little bit for any pregnant mothers or families that are expecting. They don't really know if pregnant people are at a higher risk for getting COVID than the general public, but traditionally, pregnant people have changes in their bodies that can cause them to have an increased risk for infection. And pregnant people in the past have had a higher risk for severe illness for viruses that are similar in the same kind of family as COVID and other respiratory infections. So things like the flu, pregnant people have had a higher risk for a severe illness when they've gotten it. So we just want to make sure if you are pregnant or if somebody in your family is pregnant, they want to avoid anyone who's sick or has been exposed to the virus. They want to clean their hands with soap and water or the hand sanitizer just like everybody else. Clean and disinfect frequently touched surfaces. As far as mother-to-child transmission during pregnancy, they think it's unlikely, but after birth, a newborn can be susceptible to person-to-person spread just like anyone else, so you just want to be very cautious in that regard. So we just, if you are interested in this, you can go to CDC coronavirus and type in pregnancy and breastfeeding, and they've got a lot of information about it, as much as they can for something that's so new. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure people knew that they think that there could be increased risk. It's too early to tell. There have been increased risk for other respiratory illnesses for pregnant people, so just be cautious.
Okay. Erin, are you continuing offering service either in person or remotely during this time?
Yes. Okay. Now, a lot of things like WIC, which is Women, Infant, and Children Program, they've pretty much said that people can just submit their paperwork via mail, and they don't necessarily have to come in person and get the height and weight and hemoglobin, that they'll delay that for the time being. So just call ahead of time to see if it's something that you can do at home and talk to us on the phone. But there's certain things that we can't do over the phone, like we can't give somebody an immunization over the phone, or we can't do an STD screen over the phone. So yeah, just call us if you are needing assistance, and we'll do the best that we can to help you, and via phone or in person.
Okay, great. And any other messages from you, the public health nurse?
Just be really cognizant if you are out and about in the community, especially grocery stores, post office, places where there's lots of other people. Please make sure that you are not touching your face and then touching something that somebody else might touch. So that might be the keypad when you're checking out at the grocery store, or the door handle when you're going to open or close the door, because that is really a route where you can spread infection. And just because you may feel fine doesn't mean that you may not have the infection, because there are a large percentage of people that they're seeing that don't ever have signs or symptoms, or they're so mild that they don't even notice them, but they could be potentially spreading that to those that could get really sick from this. So just please, I would encourage people, be aware of what you're doing. I know it's very tough because sometimes we do things unconsciously, touching our face, but if you're going to be touching anything out in public, maybe if you are one of the lucky people that have hand sanitizer, use hand sanitizer after you've touched like the keypad at the grocery store or the door handle, anywhere where people are touching, a lot of people are touching the same thing. You just want to be really cautious.
Okay, great. Thanks, Erin. Let's switch now to the borough, the incident commander for the Petersburg Borough, and Carl Hagerman. Hi, Carl. What's the latest?
Hi, Joe. Well, at the borough, I kind of like to circle back to some of the previous comments in today's show and just acknowledge how hard this all is on all of us, all the changes that have happened in the last month really have been, it's really thrown us out of a rhythm, and we're doing things that we never thought we would do. But it's really important to realize, I think Liz Bacom said, you know, there really is no end in sight. So I know it's very hard for everybody, but we all need to continue to stay the course, do the best we can with social distancing and all the restrictions that are in place right now. As this goes on, you know, there's increasing pressure to relax social distancing and business restrictions. And we're just not there yet. We haven't peaked as a nation or a state or as a community yet as far as the COVID-19. And so it's really not appropriate to start talking about, in my opinion, to start talking about relaxing restrictions yet. Especially since we're, you know, coming into the fishing season and we're going to have a lot of new people coming into the community to catch and process the fish that's so important to us. I did want to mention that the cannery plans for their crews are being submitted, and the borough is getting a look at those. The EOC group is getting a look at those, and the hospital as well. And they look pretty solid. Their goals are to try and segregate their seasonal workforce from the community as much as possible. And really, their goal is completely to sequester their workforce over the course of the summer. I think that's an excellent goal, and I think it really will make a difference for all of our community and keeping COVID under control here. We got feedback that the Trident plan locally is one of the best in the state. So people should feel confident that our processes are doing what they can to plan and prepare for the influx of workers that they need, that we all need.
Okay. Carl, I had another listener ask again about intrastate travel, someone coming to Petersburg from somewhere else in Alaska, Anchorage or Fairbanks, for an essential business and then leaving, and just wanting to hear again, what are the requirements for that travel? Are there any requirements for restrictions or travel mandates for someone coming from another community in Alaska?
Sure. So it's important to signify that we're talking about essential businesses here. Non-essential workers and businesses should not be traveling at all. But for anybody that is on the essential or critical business list, there can be travel within the state. Currently, the state's mandate number 12 does not require, it actually prohibits a 14-day quarantine for any essential workers traveling within the state. But those workers, those businesses that are conducting business between communities, traveling to different communities, must have a work plan submitted with the state, identifying all of the steps that they take to meet the social distancing mandate number 11. So it's not as if those workers can travel and do whatever they want. They are still subject to all the rules and regulations that we are locally, and more so because they need to submit that plan to the state and they need to follow it.
Okay, but what's the enforcement there? Is anyone keeping an eye on that? If a solitary worker or someone essential, the governor used the example of a diesel mechanic coming into Petersburg the other day when I asked him the question. So if a diesel mechanic flies in from another community, is anyone keeping an eye on that person to make sure they're following their essential business workforce plan or not?
The same people that are watching all of us. I mean, we all are policing ourselves right now. Earlier on the show, it was mentioned that we're on an honor system. That is very much true. The state does not have a good enforcement system in place for their mandates that they put out. And so we are relying on the honor system a great deal in all of this. I would encourage any business that has incoming technicians or mechanics or any essential worker that's coming to do work, be very forthright with those people that are coming in and explain to them that Petersburg is very informed, and we do expect them to follow all the state mandates as they should in their own hometown while they're here. We are working as an EOC in conjunction with the hospital on a form to make available to businesses that have these kind of needs, and it's a form that will allow transfer of information from the business that's coming into Petersburg to the recipient of their service, and also provide information on where they plan to stay also emphasize to them, you know, that the mandates are in place and we expect them to quarantine or isolate themselves if they're not working, just like anybody else should be doing under the mandate number 11. That's not quite ready for dissemination yet, but we're working on it. I think it will help the community to pass along important information to people that are coming to town for essential services.
Okay. And is the Borough Assembly going to be tackling any issues around COVID-19 for their Monday meeting that you know of?
Well, I've been developing some local mandates for their consideration. Those might actually come up in a special meeting before Monday, but it definitely Monday, if not before. So we are, again, just trying to find ways that make sense for Petersburg to protect ourselves and our population as much as possible. So we're drafting a masking, basically a facial covering mandate for everybody in Petersburg. We're also looking at a mandate that would require businesses, like we just talked about, essential businesses that have that are conducting business between community to community. Should have submitted their business travel plan to the state already. We would, the borough would like copies of those plans before technicians come in to Petersburg. So that's another mandate. One other is regarding the use of our borough docking facilities for any cruise ships that come through. We cannot mandate that they quarantine, but we can control the use of our facilities. So we'll be looking at a mandate that asserts our control over our docks.
Okay. All right, Carl, anything else from your standpoint before I move on?
I did want to touch on local contractors, just back to the business restriction aspect. You know, that local contractors in Petersburg are considered essential as well. They can work. They must follow the social distancing requirements that are in place from the state. I understand that some contractors are trying to work, but they're being fairly careful on what jobs that they accept right now because they're worried about transmission as well. So I just wanted to get that word out there that contractors and tradesmen are working, but you know, if they turn you down for a project, they're just being careful. So please, everybody, be patient and kind, like we've said many times. And if you have a job that isn't absolutely safety critical or sanitation critical, then maybe you can put that off for a while and keep our contractors and yourself at lower risk.
Okay. Great. We'll circle back around to you, Carl, if we've missed anything. Let's move on to the school district. The high school, middle school principal, Rick Dormer, is on the line here. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Not bad. You?
Doing well, actually. Staying busy, for sure.
We had the first virtual school board meeting last night, and it went well on the online platform. What's the latest in the middle and high school and learning online situation?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we're moving along as expected. Obviously, Friday was an announcement that we all knew was coming, but that the official closing of school through the end of the 1920 school year, you know, coming from the governor. And so that allows us to kind of truck ahead and ramp up our efforts there to plan and to really know what we're doing for the rest of the year. So it's not happy news, but it's probably the right news. And again, we knew it was coming. So it allows us to really focus our efforts. So that's where we're going as a district.
And you're starting to solicit ideas about things like graduation, what that might look like, timing and everything and other.
Yeah, absolutely. We're working pretty closely with student groups. We really want them, especially seniors, when you talk about graduation, but there's other, you know, spring events that involve other kids that we don't want to get rid of, such as, you know, the Elk Scholarship Dinner or some of those events. So we're talking a lot with student leaders, mostly the high school ASB at this point, but also the meet with our senior advisors. In fact, seniors have a meeting here in half an hour with their senior class advisors just to keep talking about ideas and making those decisions. So, yeah. And we talking with parent groups, obviously, it's a weird year where I'm a principal and a parent of a senior. So That's kind of nice, a lot of connections and reaching out to those parents and talk about ways to recognize and honor their graduating seniors as well. So lots of ideas, and we're soliciting ideas from parents and families and school board members, et cetera.
Senior year is a tough one. Kids are usually pretty anxious to get out of senior year, and they actually got their wish this year.
Yeah, we've heard the ideas of, we want to keep going, and really about as much as we wanted to, connect with teachers, we know it's also about connecting with their friends. But we've certainly had kids ask if they can just kind of wrap up online, and we're keeping them there and we're keeping some learning going. We know that as we get closer to the end of May, obviously we'll start closing things up for them and allowing them to wrap up the classes. We've talked about still making decisions about what a finals week might look like, both for seniors and not seniors, and recognizing the education important and the structure important. But we know that school obviously looks and certainly feels different, so we want to temper our expectations for everybody.
Okay. All right. And school is going well. Are kids attending pretty well from home?
They really are. We're really thankful to our parent support, our kids. We're doing outstanding. The attendance is very high. Kids who are, struggling with connection issues. I just had one of our aides working with me. We tested a MiFi school device out at Papke's Landing to work on connecting different families out there and just finding different ways to make sure everybody has an equitable education, which is the big challenge. Petersburg is, again, poised, and with our technology support, again, having supportive families, a lot of social networking, amongst our kids. So we're getting really good participation, really good attendance, and we're really thankful for that. It's great for education, but we really, really honestly believe and know that's healthy for kids and teachers and families to stay connected, albeit, virtually.
Okay. Any other messages from the school district today?
Sure. Well, Mrs. Kahn wanted to remind the Stedman families that there's a literacy event tomorrow. That's Thursday at 1 p.m. That information can be found on Facebook, the website, and the school bulletin. As a district, Mrs. Kahn has been having a blast. I love her passion there. I've been working with staff to have books being delivered and taken back, and she's, wiping things down and letting them sit when they come back. But those are due today if you're requesting a book or bringing one back. And then, those are delivered and picked up on Friday, driving the Viking bus out there, following the food route. And I get books to kids because we can get them reading. That's a step in the right direction, regardless of what the education situation is looking like at home. Also, the meals have been really successful. Really thousands of meals have gone out since we started this. They're in week 4, and that a sign-up is due on Friday, and that is district-wide K-12. Forms for books, forms for meals can all be found at pcsd.us. So that's elementary news there. And then a couple things from the secondary that we are looking to host a parent forum, a Mickoff Middle School one and a separate high school one, just to give a chance to connect with parents. We'll do it next week. Watch the website, Facebook, and those school bulletins for information on that. We've been working really hard to reach out with kids, and I would like to extend a little farther and just have an opportunity to talk to parents, especially now that we know what the end of the school year looks like. Next Tuesday and a couple afternoons there as well. On Tuesdays, we'll have an opportunity for students. We're still with it happening so suddenly with regions, and we still had some gear out there, so we're trying to get some of the basketball gear back and any of the other sports equipment like that, as well as senior items will be available also on Tuesday to go out. We have caps and gowns, senior posters, and we want to get them out. Again, we will have some sort of graduation event, so don't get frustrated, seniors, and get rid of those. We've got lots of plans in store, but we also want to get those caps and gowns out to you. So that will also happen on Tuesday, information coming out. So just remind people to keep checking on school bulletins. The school bulletins look really good. I'm really impressed with all three buildings. There's workouts you can do as a family. I love that idea that I was doing one just on Tuesday with some sixth graders. Just a blast. They don't require weights or special equipment. Really a fun way to connect with your kids, as well as all of us stay active. Ms. Turner in the secondary put out a great lesson on resiliency and some conversations you can be having with kids at home. So family, I hope you're checking out those bulletins. And finally, I just wanted to say from all of us at the district that Viking students, Eagle students, we do miss you. I hope you're staying safe, and we love connecting with you online.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
All right. Just to circle back around real quickly to the mask issue, maybe to Liz Bacom or Aaron Michael. Carl Hagerman mentioned the possibility of a mask mandate. I wanted to ask about are all masks created equal in terms of, can anyone grab any mask? Does a buff work or other a scarf if you don't have a mask, considering that there aren't probably yet 3,000 masks in the community for non-health workers. Can you use other substitutes? Does that do just as good to keep from spreading if you do have COVID-19? Aaron, you want to tackle that one?
Sure. Really, scarves, busts, you name it, something is better than nothing. The tighter the weave, the better it's going to work as far as preventing droplets from going out. So things like duck cloth or denim are a little bit tighter weave. But really anything that can kind of hopefully slow down that spread if you were to cough or sneeze or sing or exhale forcefully is going to work. And ideally, if you can get something that fits around your face like a more traditional mask, even these handmade masks, that's going to be better than something that's not made specifically for that, like a scarf or a buff. But all of these things will help. And I'm sure Liz probably can also chime in a little bit more detail if I'm missing anything.
Liz, can you add to that?
Nope. There's great videos on YouTube you can go look at, or just Google homemade mask without sewing machine, because not everybody knows how to sew or has a sewing machine.
Okay, so something's better than nothing. All right. All right, and real briefly to the rest of the medical center officials, Phil or Jennifer, real briefly on the testing numbers that we've seen since, knock on wood, we haven't seen another case yet identified in the community in a little while. Do you take anything out of that? We still haven't tested a lot of people here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would be cautious with that. As a whole, I feel like, you know, once we get the on-site testing, where we'll be able to have a turnaround time, even with that, you know, again, a lot of caution. I don't think, you know, Jennifer, I don't know if you want to add anything to that. I would be very reluctant to say anything at this point.
Okay.
Of what that means.
Right. No, I mean, I think that, we should be, you know, I think it's important to recognize that we did have a positive case and so far have not had any subsequent close contacts with symptoms. So I think that's really excellent and probably shows that the right things were done. That doesn't mean that we can't have COVID in our community because there are still people entering the community and, you know, it could be traveling and we just haven't been able to find it yet. We are really working hard on testing anybody who has symptoms, you know. So we're certainly not doing widespread non-symptomatic testing yet, but we are testing most people who call the hotline. So I think, you know, we're really looking for this disease, and at this point we're not finding it. And that's I think, saying that we need to continue doing what we're doing because we're not seeing a big spike. And that's exactly why we're doing all these things like social distancing and wearing masks and washing our hands. So we need to just stay with it so we can continue seeing not a spike in our community.
Okay. All right. Any other messages from the medical center standpoint?
Not at this time. I mean, other than wellness, I mean, I think it's really important for us to think about wellness, just getting out there, walking, making sure that we're paying attention to our mental. It's affecting us all. We really need to pay attention to that. And just one other comment about testing availability. You know, one of the things that we really don't want to see is people not wanting to test or being scared of the criticism, what that means if they are a positive. We really want to encourage people to test. I mean, it's definitely a community response as well. So we do want to be vigilant of that. We don't want people not being afraid to come out and let people know their symptoms and being afraid of the testing as well.
Okay, great.
And this, Liz, I just want to add that there is no financial barrier either if people don't have insurance or they are afraid of the cost. That is not a concern. We will make sure that people are tested.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Carl Hagerman, any closing thoughts from the borough's standpoint?
No, I don't think so, Joe. Again, a big thanks to KFSK for doing this daily. I think it really is good for the community, and thanks to everybody that's listening. I get a lot of comments from the daily broadcast, and I know the word's getting out there. So thanks to everybody in the community for tuning in and doing your best to do your own part.
Thank you all for participating. This is our 24th show today. We've been at it for a month now, and we will be back on the air same time tomorrow at 12:30 in the afternoon. You're listening to KFSK in Petersburg.